Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Chuck Carney from Indiana University joined us yesterday, and we join his interview in progress talking about next year.
They were going to have a required test for students coming back to campus, and we were working on that and really had, we had decided by that point, but we were not ready to announce it because we wanted to announce it. We're trying to get the communication to parents and students first. And so last Friday, we sent out an email to parents and students explaining that students from everywhere coming to IU Bloomington, any student, including my own senior who's living here in the house, is going to have to be tested for COVID in the 10 days prior to arriving back onto campus. So that will vary, of course, by students. So it'll be a little clearer for somebody moving into the residence hall. They'll be tested by within that 10 days before the date that they are supposed to move in. For my own student, that may be the 10 days before she actually starts her first class. However, a little added twist, my daughter probably is going to have all online classes by her own choice. And so she is still going to be tested, and that's still going to be required. So it's something where we think that this will be able to work this out because in Indiana, of course, there are the state testing sites. There are now some access to some home testing. And of course, there are a lot of people in other states where they have access there. And we're obviously getting a lot of questions about this, a lot of logistics to work out, but we do think it is something that is good for the campus community to have done.
So Chuck, just to clarify, if a student has all online classes, IU still requires that test for registration?
Yeah, and I ask that question directly, mainly for personal interest. Fortunately, my daughter is fine with getting the test. But the truth of the matter is it would be really difficult to try to pin down with every single student if all of their classes are online. So it's going
gotcha.
To be okay. Something that will be, unless they're signed up through IU Online, which of course is a completely online coursework, and that's not an IU Bloomington thing, then it's something that they are going to be required to do.
Because each one of the classes might be different, and instead of going through each one of the 48,000 students' itineraries for their class schedules, you know, instead of trying to do something like that, you're just going to require it for everybody that's registered.
Yeah, okay. And the difference, there is a difference here at Bloomington as opposed to the other campuses. At IUPUI, IU Southeast, and IU South Bend, this will be required of any students who are in residential housing, but none of the other students. And that's really simply because of the difference in size and the way that those campus operates. A lot of students coming in and out, and not as many from out of state coming to certainly the other regional campuses, some from IUPUI, but it's a bit of a different campus atmosphere.
Got it.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest. He's the Director of Media Relations for the Indiana University System in IU Bloomington here. On the students from other places angle, Indiana obviously must be happy that the Trump administration has decided not to move in that direction with the foreign student visas.
Yeah, and that is something that your listeners may know that we issued an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, or signed on to one, I should say, that included Purdue and Notre Dame for a couple of other schools, around 60 signed in all, to the Harvard and MIT lawsuit against the new regulations from Immigration Customs and Enforcement. And that would have disbarred any student who was on a visa, the M1 visa, from staying in the United States if their classes moved to completely online. And of course, that prevented any change effectively to the coursework should there be a rise in the number of cases, and any university felt like they needed to change the way that courses were being delivered. Plus, it, of course, created a hardship for our international students just generally, and a lot of anxiety. So those rules lasted for about a week because the first hearing on that lawsuit, the federal government decided they were going to drop those regulations. And we feel like that was a win, not just for our international students, but for all of our campuses.
And now that we move on, you don't have to use those time and resources to make sure that those, what, 4,000 to 5,000 students are covered and not have to deal with that. That must be a relief with everything else we have to worry about right now.
It is. But I will say, in the day or two before that hearing happened, I was looking through some notes from some of our Office of International Services, and the belief was that all of the students on the Bloomington campus from who were on that visa were not in danger of having to leave the country based on what they knew. So they had already done the legwork to make sure that they were going to be able to stay in the country, which is a credit to the staff that worked so hard on these things.
Gotcha. And everybody has to be flexible. Things change. Look how quickly that changed. We were sitting here just a week ago talking about the other side of that, and here we are. It's we're in some uncharted territory, that's for sure. And sadly, we have to have weekly discussions on how IU is fighting systemic racism. Tell us what's on tap or what we have learned since we've last spoken.
Yeah, so there is a presentation. It's a web presentation, of course, in response to the ongoing issues and discussions that are going on in the wake of the George Floyd killing and other matters around the country. And locally, of course, the Indiana University Arts and Humanities Council and the IU Center for Research on Race and Ethnicity and Society and the College Arts and Humanities Institute are presenting Confronting Racism, Conversations on Systemic Racism and Protest. And so this is something that is available online, and these will be going through August 11th, streaming at 8 p.m. every Tuesday, and that's on the Arts and Humanities Council's Facebook page. If you want to find out the direct links, these are all, and the schedule, it's on our news website, news.iu.edu, and look for the story titled Weekly Expert-Led Discussions on Systemic Racism. And so it's something that we're trying to add to this conversation, and certainly we're building up to the fall semester when we believe that this will continue to be a really large topic of conversation as it's continued to be across the country. And we're working on actions, not just talking about it. We're going to be doing things on the IU campus.
And speaking of the IU campus, Chuck, everything was closed till July 31st. Well, July 31st is almost just less than or a little bit more than 2 weeks away. What's going to be the next step in getting everything open back up? Or are we going to push dates back closer to the first day of school? For parents sending kids, et cetera, what should we be listening for moving forward?
Well, the next steps, and again, you guys hear me push these websites all the time, but you go to fall2020.iu.edu, and that is where we're going to have the updates on when things will be opening back up. The residence halls will open up and move-in will be done over a space of time. I think that's being finalized right now. And that is, of course, in keeping with trying to keep from having so many people in one place at one time, much like we did the move-out. And so you're going to see students arriving gradually and not coming in all at the same time. There's not going to be a grand move-in day like we've done in the past, which is almost ceremonial in this town. And so that's not going to happen this year for obvious reasons. And so that's something that we're doing in conjunction with the testing that we talked about. So theoretically, our students are coming in, they've been tested, and they're also going to be doing this gradual move-in so we don't have them all gathering together in one place. The timeline for that, essentially, you're going to be looking at people starting to move in the near the middle of August, but a little before that, because school does start on August 24th. So that is coming up, obviously, and we'll start to see people arriving soon. If any of you like me has been to Target, you've seen some of them already here.
Yeah, it's funny how those behaviors will change as well as we get closer and closer. So long story short, we don't have to worry about paying extra to move in early to avoid the big rush of the ceremonial first day. It's going to be more of a split up attack, so to speak.
Yeah, the students will be assigned days to move in, much like they were assigned days to move out. So it's going to be something that will be staggered for that purpose.
Gotcha. Keep as many. And you know what? It's going to help traffic. It's going to help the dorms. It's going to help everything. Believe it or not, the ceremony of packing the town with a million people from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. twice in the middle of the week.
Everyone driving the wrong way and parking in the middle of the street to unload.
That's what I was going to say. That's going to really mess up my annual pool, which is how many cars will I see going the wrong way on a one-way every day?
My favorite are the people driving on the Beeline Trail. You can't beat that with it.
No, can't
beat that one at all, can you? Chuck, one final quick thing before we let you go. Parenting during a pandemic. Well, we can get some help. How's IU helping out?
Yeah, so if you go to healthy.iu.edu, there is a series of videos, and these are recordings that are all about parenting, return to school, parenting during the public health crisis that we're in. And so it has a pediatrician's perspective with Aaron Carroll from the IU School of Medicine. Many of you have probably seen him in the New York Times. He's a regular contributor there. Ann Leftwich from the School of Education. Beth Trammell, who's a psychologist and an epidemiologist. Tom Duzinski from the School of Public Health in Indianapolis. And so those are all just resources that we're offering as something that can answer some questions. In addition to that, we are going to be doing, and this hasn't even been announced yet, so this is an exclusive here on your program.
I like it.
Aaron Carroll is going to be doing a regular Wednesday's webinar on our broadcast.iu.edu page, and I think it'll probably be available through the IU Facebook as well, which will all be about answering questions about COVID and the ongoing pandemic. He's going to do this at least for about the next 6 weeks. It will be moderated by somebody that you may know that may be talking right now. So that will add to the webinars we've been doing. If you've missed any of those are also archived at broadcast.iu.edu. And a lot of good information there as we try to navigate through this. And Aaron Carroll is a great follow on Twitter. And he is somebody who knows his stuff. If you want to check out somebody who gives you some real information and has some good perspective on it, and he's obviously very involved in what our response is as an institution.
You tell that Aaron Carroll to stay away from the 3:30 half hour, buddy. That's what you tell him.
I will make sure.
You tell him you're under contract.
Wednesdays at noon. Wednesdays at noon.
Okay, good. Good lunchtime. So that's even if you are working at home, take a break or put it on in the bathroom.
That's right.
There. Excellent. Well, that's exciting to hear, and I bet you will keep us informed on that as we move forward. Stay in the coolness of your basement, safety first, and we'll get caught up with you next Wednesday, my friend, with three bigger things at IU.
All right. Thank you.
Chuck Carney, the doctor.
The doctor.
The director of media relations for Indiana University. He brings us, it's usually more than three things. He's going to have to renegotiate that contract, by the way. Three big things
title.
At IU with Chuck Carney every Wednesday.